Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:42 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 11th. Well, it's been a day of fireworks on both on and off the pitch, and it was a really hard game for the England team, but they really played their heart out. So I don't think anyone can be overly critical of their performance. But when we look at the stock market, this has been a rather difficult day as well, where you saw Europe pulling back by in excess of 1% right across the board. The Chinese market was down 1.75%. So it is perhaps worth highlighting that the Dow Jones, with its industrial focus, was down about 1%, just less than that. But the S&P and the Nasdaq were down less. And when we begin to contrast the performance of some of these indices, well, we can see, for example, that the CSI 300, which is the Chinese mainland index that's got futures attached to it, has pulled back very sharply. Now, we did have a short-term bounce last week, and now it was down a bit in here today, but so far the low is holding. Now, there is a short-term oversold condition. Now, there was, I think, a rather important graphic that I saw earlier on today, and it was the fact that China's got quite a lot of US dollar denominated debt. It's up to 1.8 trillion, so that's rather impressive considering that it was quite a bit less than that a few years ago. But there is the additional point that they have been leaning heavily on the shadow banking sector, and that's not least because it really was in very alarming territory back at the beginning of 2016. And due to the fact that they've been clamping down on non-bank financial institutions, the shadow banking sector has compressed to almost nothing. So now the question is, are we getting towards a point where the Chinese are going to be willing to take some of the pressure off the banking sector? Because until we see a catalyst in that form where there is a return to some form of support for the market, then it's likely to remain under pressure. But what was also interesting in here today was that the renminbi was weaker as well. And that suggests that 6.6 is an area of support for the dollar. It also helps to highlight the fact that President Trump is talking about an additional $200 billion worth of tariffs. And that's pretty close to a tariff on just about everything that China exports to the USA. Now, there are obviously going to be two ways around that. One is that you export the goods to a third-party country with no tariffs attached to it first, and then just change the labels on the boxes and off they go to the US to avoid the tariff. That's something that we've seen quite a bit in the agricultural sector, and it also makes a nonsense of the accelerated decline that we've had in soybeans. Why on earth couldn't somebody in Brazil start buying US soybeans, take delivery, and then just re-export them to China from Brazil? But those kinds of trade shenanigans are not being factored into the price right now. So we are seeing accelerated declines in soybeans. There was additional pressure on the downside today for copper. Copper might have been off its low, but certainly this is a very accelerated short-term decline. It's a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Generally speaking, when we get a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, well, it quite often leads to a range, and then we could probably expect that that range would experience resistance in the region of the trend mean. So that could represent a 10% advance in copper. But so far, there's not a lot of evidence that we're about to get a reversionary move, despite the fact that you do have this short-term oversold condition. Then when we look at lean hogs, the October contract, which is currently the most has got most open interest in it, is accelerating lower, and it was at 70 back in February. It's at 52 today, so this is a rather accelerated decline. Unfortunately, that goes out to the third contract. There's almost no liquidity left in the July, but it hasn't rolled forward yet. So this is an accelerating decline here, and the price is at a new decade low. Of course, China is a massive consumer of pork products. it's the staple meat in China, so that is certainly a putting downward pressure here. But despite the fact that there's all this rhetoric about trade wars, the much more important fact is that China's leaning on the shadow banking sector, and it is deliberately trying to contain financial sector speculation. And that's, I think, the primary contributor to the underperformance. At the same time, the USA is engaged in a massive fiscal stimulus, and that is contributing to the relative performance of Wall Street. Well, the S&P 500 had got back up to test the 2800 point level yesterday. That's been an area of resistance on three previous occasions since that rebound that we had in February. So it is now an area where I think some questions are being asked. And this is I think an area where we can anticipate that we're going to get some consolidation, even without the catalyst of a greater or intensifying trade rhetoric. So we are likely to get some pause of consolidation around this area. But as long as the progression of high reaction lows holds, and most particularly for the S&P 500, that is 2700, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to higher lateral ranging. Now, the NASDAQ 100 has continued to hold at the 7,000 level. It was not down in a dynamic manner in here today, despite the fact that it did open lower. And it is right in the region of its peak. So again, this is another area where we could have anticipated some pause of consolidation, and that's indeed what we're getting, but not in a particularly dynamic manner. Well, what is also interesting is that who are the primary who are going to be those that suffer from additional trade restrictions? Well, it's going to be large industrial type companies that have benefited from, for example, China's infrastructure boom. So CAT is experiencing a resistance in the region of the trend mean. This does not look like a particularly bullish pattern. It has got quite a bit of work to do if it is going to repair some of the damage that's been done to the consistency of this advance. But it very clearly accelerated. So that's, I think, also something that has to be highlighted here, that this was a very clear acceleration that we saw in the latter half of last year, and now we're in a much more volatile, risky environment for these kinds of shares. Whereas when we look at, for example, the consumer staples, then they are attracting some additional interest here. And Pepsi has rallied impressively over the last 5 weeks. Now, we can also look at that yield chart, and over the course of the last decade, every time the yield has got up towards the 3 to 3.5% level, it has rallied. And what that continues to suggest is that there is a bid for these consumer-oriented shares when their yields get up towards that 3.5% level. Well, when people are thinking about defensive type shares like that, well, they're going to be looking at the performance of the bond market. Well, the yield continues to hold the 2.8% level, so it's still pretty competitive versus defensive shares, particularly those that have been bouncing from around that 3.5% yield level. Now, the big question is how long are the persistence of the US economies relative performance. If the Federal Reserve decides to stop raising interest rates, well, that is going to take some of the power out of the dollar's rally. But right now, what you have is a strong currency in the US dollar, and you have a strong stock market. So therefore, it is a safe haven for a large number of investors, most particularly those that are getting a little bit wary of this accelerating decline that we've had in China. So if you're taking your money out of China, where do you put it? And the answer, considering the relative strength and the stability of the bond market and the relative strength of the stock market and the strength of the currency, so far it's been the USA. And the dollar index today was up in a more robust fashion. The dollar is not just rallying against the euro, it was at a new recovery high against the yen. And what more than anything else, that return to outperformance once more against the yen really does help to highlight that this is not just a short covering rally for the dollar, but rather that this looks like more of a medium term move. And when we think about that in terms of the Asia dollar index, well, that is going to be putting pressure on a number of emerging market currencies. So they are going to be under pressure to raise interest rates to reinstill some confidence or make the interest rate more attractive to foreign investors. It's generally speaking, it's after interest rates have gone up a lot and the currency stabilizes. Then that is when the central bank begins to lower interest rates and the stock market takes off. Well, India is, I think, an important market in this environment because it is a potential beneficiary of trade tensions with China, that it has a massive young population. It has, I think, what could only be described as a nascent manufacturing sector, but the manufacturing sector is increasing. What they really need is infrastructure. But there is a little bit of a chicken and egg type scenario that you get some manufacturing, you get some money for manufacturing, and then you increase your infrastructure. And as long as you continue to increase your infrastructure, then you'll attract more manufacturing. So, but the more important point is that India is not an expensive country, most recently because the rupee has been declining. But it has such a large young population that it is a no-brainer to become a manufacturing hub if they can get their regulations under control. So the relative strength of the Nifty against this background, I think, is worth highlighting. Then if we look at, for example, Indonesia, well, the stock market has been bouncing in here, but there's still this progression of lower rally highs. We need to keep an eye on the currency because the rupiah continues to weaken. So that would suggest that the move that we got in the stock market is nominal in nature. Well, one of the countries that's had the biggest currency depreciation is Brazil. Well, with the pressure that's coming on industrial resources and indeed oil prices today, that's going to represent a headwind for a country like Brazil, and the Bovespa is so far sustaining its move below the trend mean. The Brazilian real does look like it is going to come back up and test this 4 level, and that now the onus is going to be on the central bank as to whether they're going to raise interest rates in order to try and support the currency around these levels. So far they have been rather reticent to do so because they know that once they start raising interest rates, they've got a lot of ground to make up considering how much they'd cut interest rates over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. Now that suggests that when we're looking at these emerging markets, we need to look at them on their individual merits. The rand had steadied up from the 14 level, but it was weaker in here today. It's up to, the dollar is up to 13.5, and this doesn't look like anything other than a pause in consolidation following a pretty impressive rebound for the dollar. In order to really demonstrate that the rand is back in demand dominance, it would have to sustain a move below the trend mean. Well, that's going to weigh on the performance of the stock market in real terms, but perhaps not so much in nominal terms. Much more important in nominal terms is going to be the performance of companies like BHP Billiton. With copper prices coming down and oil prices pulling back rather violently in here today, that's likely to at least represent a mean reversion outcome for a share like BHP. And oil prices were down today in a dynamic manner, almost $5 on the downside. And that's the most dynamic pullback we've seen in a year. Well, that confirms resistance in the region of $80. It also there was a number of different outcomes. The first was the fears about a slowdown in China, and China is the biggest energy consumer. Then there was news that Libya is going to begin exporting once more. Well, obviously it's not going to be exporting at the same volumes that it would have been before, but it does represent at least a few hundred thousand barrels coming back onto the market. But The more important point is that there's a lot of additional supply becomes economic at $80. And the discount that West Texas crude is trading at, because there isn't enough of infrastructure to get it out of the region and to the refineries, is a real testament to the fact that there's a lack of infrastructure rather than a lack of supply. And the reality is that the higher prices go, the more difficult it is for the price to be sustained. One of the big outcomes of a massive infrastructure build in energy when you've got very high prices is that you get plenty of additional supply coming online. And that is exactly what we have right now. So if we looked at China and we looked at some of the emerging markets and the USA, I think it really does, it's worth highlighting what's going on in Europe. A Euro Stoxx index was in negative territory in here today. Now, it had bounced pretty impressively last week from the lower side of this range, but 400 has been an area of resistance now for over a year, and it was also an area of resistance in 2015. So if we look at that on a much longer term scale, we can see that the highs for this longer range are around 450, and this has been a pretty lengthy pause. Europe is much more exposed to a slowdown in China than the USA is. It depends on China for a lot more of its exports. And German economic activity is surprising on the downside. Well, we already had clues to that because the high yield spreads have been trending higher now for about 6 months already. But what that also holds out the prospect of is that the ECB is going to have difficulty removing its quantitative easing program. They may well get to a point where they stop adding or making new purchases of bonds, but the big question then will be how long is it going to be before they have to start again? This, to me, looks very similar to the same scenario that the Federal Reserve was in about 4 years ago. They had come to the end of a large quantitative easing program. They were committed to stopping it, and then they had to engage in QE forever. And we're really only starting to come to the end of that now, where they're just beginning to this year to unwind their balance sheet. And so far, that unwinding of the balance sheet has gone pretty well, because while they've been reducing the size of the balance sheet, they've been stimulating the economy with fiscal stimulus. So what that suggests is that the US is still liquidity fueled, but the liquidity fuel for other markets on which they equally depend is less available. And that is at least part of the reason why we're seeing this underperformance. But I think anybody can look at that chart of the DAX and think that 12,000 is an awfully big level. And if we get a few more days on the downside, we're going to be testing it once more. And then I think it's worth looking at the European banks, because they were in additional negative territory in here today. And when you start dropping 2 points on a 100-point index, well, then you're starting to rack up pretty significant percentages over the course of a few days. And the much broader picture is that there has been a clear downward bias to trading. There is certainly a progression of lower major rally highs since 2009. The lows have held in 2012 and 2016, but there isn't a lot on that chart to suggest that we're not going to see additional downside from here. I don't know what happened with my Bloomberg screen just there. Now, when we look at the medium-term outlook, the commodity complex is coming under pressure, not least because China is far and away the biggest contributor, and the continuous commodity index has been pulling back. Well, that is going to contain inflationary pressures on the commodity front. And if oil's pullback today is extended through tomorrow, well, then we're going to be talking about energy price inflation being less of an issue as well. But if they follow through and put $200 billion of tariffs on Chinese goods, that is going to contribute to inflationary pressures. And we're already at a point where you've got full employment. Well, if people start noticing that their cost of living is rising, they're going to start asking for higher wages. This is, I think, an important point to keep an eye on, that we are at a rather interesting juncture, and there are going to be clear winners and losers. So far, the commodities have been the clearest losers in conjunction with the Chinese stock market. Europe is somewhere in the middle, and the US continues to outperform. What is interesting is that with the yen breaking down against the dollar, the Nikkei is in positive territory, up about 90 points. So there is the potential here that Japan is an area which could potentially benefit from what's going on right now, and not least because the Nikkei is right in the region of the trend mean. And then when we look at Australia, well, Australia is obviously a major producer of coal, iron ore, and natural gas, and that natural gas is pinned to the oil price in Asia. So the ASX is a little bit overbought in the short term, and it is susceptible to some pause and consolidation. The other market that has been breaking out and touching new highs is the Canadian market. But it is also susceptible to some pause of consolidation, considering that there is such a large commodity element to this particular market. But it is also looking increasingly likely that Canada is going to be raising interest rates reasonably soon. But nonetheless, this is still a reasonably bullish environment, and as long as it is holding the progression of higher reaction lows, well, then we will still have a reasonably consistent trend. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.